Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HR Latte, your first cup of talent management whipped to perfection.
Hey everybody, welcome to HR Latte. This is Rayanne Thorne. Thanks for joining me this morning. We had a bit of a snafu. I tried to launch the show right on time. It was scheduled for 10 a.m. this morning, Pacific time, 1 p.m. Eastern time, and for some reason, Blog Talk Radio had me listed in the Samoa time zone, which I have to admit would be really nice if I were sitting in Samoa right now doing this show, but unfortunately, I am not. I am in a different paradise, downtown Laguna Beach, California. Thanks for joining me today. HR Latte is a fast-paced, quick hit show where you can expect not only surprises, but the information you need to know for success in the world of talent management. My very special guest today is Phil Hendrickson. Phil joined me on HR Latte back in 2014, and I invited him back today to talk a little bit further about the candidate experience. Some of you may be aware that the month of February is Candidate Experience Month, and I'm talking to my guests about how we can better the candidate experience, why it's important, really opening some minds and opening some doors when we consider this topic. We have been talking about it for years, and yet it is still a consistent problem. So I'm hoping that the conversations that I'm having here on HR Latte will start to make a difference, will start to change thought processes and actual recruiting hiring processes. Phil is here today to talk about having a strategy. That is his expertise. And so, Phil, without further ado, I want to give you an opportunity to tell us about you. Since you were just on the show, do we have anything new happening in the world of Phil Hendrickson?
Sure. Thanks, Rayanne. A few things since the last time we spoke. One, I joined Qualify late last year, and I'm excited to be part of their team. If anyone has an interest in learning a little more about my company and my role, please reach out to me. I'd be happy to talk with you. Second, I just got back from filming a docufilm called Talent Attraction. It's a Chris Lavoie production, and I was honored to be part of a 20-person TED Talk, basically, about talent acquisition. We had professionals from all over the world fly in, and it's a very dynamic conversation, incredibly informative. I can't wait for it to be released. It should be out later this year, maybe late summer. So I'm very excited about that and happy to share any more about that with anyone who's interested.
Wow, that's I've been watching the pictures and the information coming back from that experience. I myself participated in the Art of Recruiting docufilm back in December. I'm looking forward to seeing the images and the information, the education that comes out of these documentaries. I think it's a really bold move on Lavoie Entertainment's part and something that could possibly make a huge difference in how we learn, how we educate, how we share information. I'm looking forward to hearing more about that. So you have had a significant focus on strategy throughout your career. You had successful job opportunities at Apple Retail, Starbucks, Fannie Mae, Sapient, all of these companies where you managed and spearheaded new hiring strategies. So I want to kick off right away into our topic about having a strategy and how it changes the candidate experience. And when you hear that phrase, the candidate experience, what does it mean to you, Phil Hendrickson?
Very good. It means one thing initially. It's about people. I think we forget in recruiting that the candidate is a person, fundamentally, and period. We call people candidates, we call them applicants, we call them prospects, but in my view, we need to fundamentally understand that the people that we invite to our companies, to our brands, are people. And I've been a fan of connecting the candidate and the customer experience. We used to say the candidate is our customer, and at companies like Apple and Starbucks, we knew that very well. I always posed the challenge to our teams, do our candidates get half as good an experience with us in recruiting as they do in our stores? Because as you know, this helps focus attention. The store journey in both of those companies is paramount to their brands.
Right.
Recruiting has a hard time living up to those fascinating retail experiences that people have when they walk into a store. And I think that's a challenge that every company can rise to. And, you know, it means for us in talent acquisition that we have an obligation. If we are inviting so many people to our jobs, to our company, we have an obligation to engage them and not just let them flounder in the black hole of our hiring process. So I think all of us have a duty and an obligation to think and to strategize and to invest in improving the candidate experience.
I would agree 100%, and thank you for that thoughtful answer. I'm very interested in this topic. It's something that I've been writing about and talking about and thinking about for the last 8 years, you know, eight years. And it just feels like we are spinning our wheels. We're walking through waist-high water, you know, trying to get away from the stigma of bad candidate experience in our field. So I love that we are having these open conversations, and hopefully, you know, they'll start to make a difference. So for yourself personally, you've been involved with talent acquisition for nearly 20 years. And how has that changed? How has the candidate experience changed over the last 20 years that you've been involved with recruiting, hiring, talent acquisition?
I would say the candidate's experience has gotten worse in the last 20 years. People haven't changed. Technology has. Recruiters don't wake up every day saying, I'm going to ignore hundreds of candidates today. It's just a fact that they don't have time to do their jobs correctly, and they don't typically have leaders that care either. Recruiters tend to be measured on the candidates that they move forward into a hiring process, and there's little incentive for them to look after the people that don't. We have tremendous recruiting marketing technology today that helps drive our jobs, our brands, opportunities to hundreds of thousands of eyeballs, and we end up attracting tens of thousands of people, and we hire 1% of them. So we create huge numbers of people that are having a horrible experience, one that I call the black hole, and we all as an industry refer to it as a black hole. And that's only gotten worse because of the increase in technology that is very good at recruiting advertising.
Right, and I spoke with Shannon Smeestad last week, and we were talking about employment branding. You mentioned earlier about, you know, the problem that a bad candidate experience creates for a big brand like Starbucks, like Apple.
Yeah.
Right, if candidates are treated poorly, it definitely impacts their product brand, the company brand itself. And so I think it's time, it really is time for us to make significant changes to affect this. And one way to do that is truly creating a strategy and sticking with it, following through with it, and making adjustments when it's not working out or doing what we expected it to do. So let's shift gears a little bit here and let's talk about strategy. How important is it to have a plan and understand the direction that you're going, and then stick with it or maintain it, which means adjust when necessary.
Yeah. And let's return to this topic after we talk strategy, because you are correct. It's incredibly important. I'd say a sourcing and recruiting strategy can do several things. Repeatability, marketing, and evolution are three ways I look at it. Repeatability, when you create a sourcing strategy, you set out the resources that are needed, the tools and approaches that are involved, the marketing and the outreach that will be involved. I've created sourcing strategies for different business units. They include our diversity channels, our social channels. It's a way to prepare a recruiting team or a recruiter who's new in a role with the resources and the ideas that will help lead them to find candidates. Marketing, when a hiring team can see that recruiting has a strategy, knows where they're going to find candidates, they instantly understand and have respect for recruiters. When I would sit down with hiring managers and show them where their jobs will be marketed, what associations will be tapped, what social channels will be used, when I remind hiring teams that we have a pipeline of ready talent that we've found and nurtured over months and years, they become impressed and they have respect for what recruiting can bring. And then in terms of evolution, hiring and sourcing strategies are things that need to live. And once you create them, they can evolve as markets change, as resources change, as the complexity of the roles shift. And your recruiting team is set up in a rational, thoughtful way when you set out solid sourcing and recruiting strategies.
Agreed. So you wanted to touch back on, I believe I mentioned employment branding, crossing those streams with the product brand. Is there something you'd like to add to that thought?
Yeah. You know, I talked about recruiters, and I can't tell you how many times that recruiters have tell me that they are unhappy with the situation, that they hate how they're forced to treat candidates, because they're aware of the hundreds of candidates that continue to fall by the wayside. And recruiters are people, and there's nothing they hate more than not being able to engage with the people that are reaching out to them and their company. But today, you know, there is recourse. You talked about the impact on brands, and candidates today, different from 20 years ago, have resources that they can turn to make their voices heard. The same way that customers turn to social channels, I'd like to see candidates turn the power of Yelp at companies that create poor candidate experiences, because I feel that companies need to change the way they treat candidates. And if they don't, I feel they're going to be at a competitive disadvantage to companies that are. I see a strong correlation between how candidates are treated and how they feel about a brand. I know from recent research that about 96% of candidates that have a good experience with a company's hiring process will refer people to them. And about 80% or more will share their experience on social channels. So this needs to be understood, I think, by companies as they set out to be more competitive today. So I don't think we can afford any longer to accept the status quo of a black hole in our recruiting processes.
Agree 100%. When I first started on Twitter, I think I was about a year in and discovered TweetDeck and set up columns. And I remember specifically setting up a column for hashtag recruiter. And I was appalled by some of the things that candidates were saying about recruiters, right? So they have been turning to social. It would be interesting to see what happens on Yelp. I shared this story earlier that I was asked to help a company in Las Vegas, who's a nursing home, who kept getting horrible Yelp reviews, terrible things being said about the CEO and so forth, and came to find out that they were employees that were, when they were leaving the organization, when they were leaving work that day, they would check out on Yelp and leave a terrible review of their boss. So even employees, you know, we touched on this last month on the employee experience when I talked about that on HR Latte. So social is raising awareness, not just for marketers, but for individuals who feel like they have a stronger voice and can actually use it, hopefully to benefit themselves. Unfortunately, it's often just to express frustrations instead of elicit change. So hopefully we can, you know, start to see a change, a shift on that. So you mentioned earlier that you think the candidate experience has gotten worse and blaming technology. It's interesting that tech, the way that we talk about technology today, whether it's an ATS or a Twitter feed, was meant to bring us closer as human beings, right? To not put a wedge in humanity. So is there anything you can think of that would help that other than just raising awareness right now? Is it the fault of technology? Is it just that we live in a world that is fast-paced? What do you think?
Technology offers solutions, and sometimes technology is at the root of some of the problems. One-third of candidates spend up to an hour just applying to a job.
Right.
And that's crazy, but that's not...
For one job, right? For one job.
Yes. Yes. So technology is responsible for some of the inertia in our processes, but technology also offers some solutions. I know in the past I've helped leverage Twitter and talent networks and Facebook and LinkedIn groups to help candidates have a way to connect with companies in some other avenue other than just the hiring process. I was delighted to see this morning Starbucks Jobs Twitter was responding to candidates that were had joined them on a jobs chat yesterday, and they just said, if anyone has any questions, please reach out. We'll be happy to answer them. It's that kind of sentiment. It's that kind of action that means so much to candidates. And technology enables that. So that's an example of Twitter being used rather than sending people to apply for a job, which is, as we all know, not a very satisfying activity.
Not at
but
all.
Twitter is a wonderful tool to allow some kind of connection. Facebook is another way that people can actually reach out and understand who people are and hear people's sentiments. I think companies today, as a shift in the war for talent is starting this year, I think more and more power is going to be with candidates. We're seeing more job offers. We're seeing higher salaries, higher sign-on bonuses. We're seeing candidates get more into the driver's seat. And I think companies today should start thinking about how they can do things differently. In the past 7 years, they haven't been under this kind of pressure, but I think investing in technology, incentivizing their teams, there are lots of opportunities for companies to think differently here. And I think I think this year we'll see a lot more interest in the candidate experience. What I'm hearing is that companies are increasing their investment in talent communities. There's been a 5x growth in interest in the last year in just building strong relationships with candidates. And these aren't necessarily applicants. So I think there are good signs today that companies are beginning to think differently about changing the candidate experience.
Thank you so much, Bill. That is that's a quality answer right there. And I really appreciate you sharing that. When we think about the three key ways that a client or a hiring company or, you know, whoever is out there working on hiring, what are those key ways that you can come up with, Bill, because of your experience,
yep.
because of the amount of time that you have spent in hiring and recruiting, what can you share that would help create a quality candidate experience?
First, I think we all as professionals need to lean into this challenge. It is not easy and it's not going to solve itself. As I said in the beginning, we need to acknowledge that candidates or prospects or applicants or whatever we call them are people. And since we're a people-focused industry, if we start there, we'll only end up in a good place. Incentivize employees to engage in some way with candidates. Obviously, recruiters are on the front line. They're the ones who say they can't keep up with the volume when it comes to the candidate experience. But many companies involve more than just recruiters. They involve hiring teams in outreach or just having them understand that they're also brand ambassadors. Lastly, I think we can invest in tools, technology, and ways to help mitigate the poor experience. There's training that companies can provide people who aren't in recruiting to understand how they fit into the picture of the hiring process. I think there's just tremendous opportunity that companies can take advantage of today, from social technologies to engagement technologies to smart CRMs to building talent communities. There are lots of opportunities, and this is a world open to innovators, and I look forward to 2015 being a year of innovation in the world of the candidate experience.
I hope so. Man, do I hope so. So I've been talking with Phil Hendrickson, who is the Chief Talent Strategist at Qualify. 20 years experience in the trenches as a recruiting professional. Phil, over those years, one of the reasons I wanted you on my Candidate Experience Month is the fact that you have created multiple very successful hiring strategies, true hiring strategies. So I want you to share with us the benefit that you have seen from those and then how those benefits translate to benefits for the job seeker, the applicant, the candidate.
Yeah. Earlier we spoke a little about sourcing and recruiting strategies. That's sort of the tactical sphere of finding candidates. The hiring strategies are more complex, and it means that there's been, in my view, there's been thinking and planning ahead of time that allows for everyone involved in their respective roles, from creating the role itself, from sourcing and recruiting to interviewing, closing, onboarding, and then the development and the retention of candidates. So it's when you think of a hiring strategy, you think of all of these elements, and it's not just recruiting or sourcing. And when you do this well, when a job seeker approaches your company. They see roles that they understand. They feel that there's a strategy in place. They can learn more about a company's roles and culture, and they can connect. They have opportunities. They're companies that have good hiring strategies don't have a singular approach to hiring, apply or nothing else. They can join a community. They can ask a question. They can engage with hiring managers. They can connect. Candidates, job seekers at that point, feel differently about that company. Recruiters and sourcers, in my view, are like sentinels. They're in the marketplace and they begin speaking with prospects. And when recruiters and sourcers have hiring teams that they can partner with, that they can introduce to prospects, that can have warm conversations, those prospects who may not be completely interested in being an applicant, but would be fascinated by a brand or by speaking to a hiring team. These kinds of partnerships between recruiting and hiring teams create an amazing lift in the candidate experience long before they become applicants. And then lastly, once someone applies to a position, so they've seen a company, they've seen roles, they've talked to a recruiter or a sourcer, they've been engaged perhaps by hiring managers, they're now interested in this company, interested in a role, interested in joining a team, making a life change. Now that they're entering the hiring process, when you have a hiring strategy that allows applicants to understand who's going to be involved in the interview, what their expectations should be, what the follow-up is going to be, that they're treated nicely as they enter and they're treated with respect as they move through the process. And if we don't move forward with them, they're treated courteously. This creates the final step in a great candidate experience. So in my view, a hiring strategy touches on this entire life cycle, from when a candidate first sees your company in a job to when the first contact is made by a recruiter or a sourcer, all the way through their hiring team and their interview process.
Right, and realistically, if we think about it, it goes through onboarding and into their employee experience, because they can turn around and benefit job seekers after that, right? They can be part of an ongoing idea of a better candidate experience by just having a good experience themselves and turning around and sharing that with others, friends, colleagues, anybody who's interested finds out that they work somewhere and sees them on LinkedIn or some other social channel and says, hey, you work there. What was it like to go through the hiring process? I mean, the implications
yes.
are huge and far-reaching, right? I myself
yes.
have been going through my own job search for the last, since October. And I have to tell you, I have applied for at least 100 positions, and I am disgusted by it. It's frankly, it's embarrassing to me to be a part of this industry. I have not received one reply from any of those jobs that I've applied to. Not one reply, right? I don't think it says anything about me, right? I'm pretty sure it doesn't say anything about me, because I'm able to get work and move forward with my life based on my connections. But I'll tell you what, I was not able to do any of that based on a candidate experience for myself. I'm very, very disappointed by what I have discovered being a candidate, a job seeker, an applicant myself. So that's what disappoints me, right? It disappoints me today in what's ongoing and what's happening.
Right.
What and when disappoints you, Phil?
Well, when I hear stories like you just said, and I superimpose you as not a candidate, but you as a customer, and I see that you have now spent 50 to 100 hours pursuing something with a company and not getting anything in return, I would say if you were a customer, you would never return to any of these establishments. But
yeah, that's about right.
We know that's not the case, but I hope that companies will begin to see that your experience and the experience of other candidates is just not sustainable. So, yes, that is probably what disappoints me most today is, and I wrote about this a few weeks ago, the black hole, that we professionals, we tolerate this, that we acknowledge, we in recruiting acknowledge that the process that we have established is a black hole, and that our candidates, our customers, also call our process a black hole. This just frustrates me to no end. We've made so many great strides in recruiting, and a lot of them have been because of technology, but also because of good techniques in recruiting and sustaining us as true professionals. But this is the one Achilles heel that we as an industry still has. And I hope that we can, in the months and years ahead, focus on changing it. I hope I haven't been too much of a downer when it comes to
not
the
at
candidate
all.
Experience.
Not at all.
But
this is why I wanted you on the show, right? This is why we need to talk about it. So,
you know, and companies are starting, as I said earlier, to address this. They're starting to survey candidates. Only the last I looked, only about 14% of companies are routinely surveying candidates, but that's up from in years past. So I feel optimistic. I feel that more companies are starting to look at this, and if they are, they will change it. And if they change it for the better for them, they will put their competitors at a disadvantage. Because I feel you, the candidate, will be far more likely to recommend companies that provide a good or a great experience, even if you don't get a job. You'll refer your friends. And those companies will benefit.
I've done that. You know, yep. I as a recruiter, when I was an executive recruiter, I would always sign off my candidates with a phone call. You know, if they had gone through a phone interview or an on-site interview, if they had had that one-on-one conversation with a recruiter or hiring manager, I would go to them and say, look, this is where we are. We're not going to be moving you forward in the process. Tell me about your experience. Now that you know this job better than anybody else, is there anybody that you can refer? And if you have treated them well, they're going to be an advocate. They're going to be a positive voice for the company that you represent and for the brand that you are a part of. I hope, Phil, that you know conversations like this will continue to have an impact, that we will continue to try to make a difference and try and make a change. As always, HR Latte goes way too fast. There's far too much for us to talk about. I finish off every show with quick hit faves. And I know that you did the show a few months back and you shared with us some of your faves, but have any of those favorites changed?
I don't remember what my food favorite was, but my recent food favorite is stir fry. I've been playing around with yakisoba noodles, and last night I made a stir fry, and my daughter even ate broccoli. So,
wow!
Thumbs up to stir fry and yakisoba noodles.
Yeah. Favorite
books? Let's see. Last time I think I spoke a little bit about it. I don't have very much time to read long books. Reading Narnia to the kids these days. I've got The Life and Times of Archie Mehitabel by my bed, and I've got the Sibley Guide to Birds. We've been teaching kids about bird watching.
Wow!
So those are the books by
my
bed. Yeah, no long novels for me. Short hits.
There you go.
And let's see. Yeah, and places. I think I talked last time about Italy. I was just in Miami filming a talent attraction with Chris LeBlanc. And so Miami is my new favorite place. I live in Seattle, and this time of year it's in the 40s and 50s. And to be in the sunshine for a little while, yes. And to be in the sunshine a little bit really warmed my bones.
Oh, good.
And you know what? And in terms of my favorite thing to do, that hasn't changed. Still sitting in front of the fireplace playing games with the kids. We're learning poker these days. So, yeah. So I don't know much about poker.
Good.
I should, but my kids are teaching me.
So as always, it is an absolute pleasure from your mouth, your thoughts, your words to the recruiting gods hiring. Let's hope that there's a shift and a change, and we continue to strive to find the better way at whatever we do. I appreciate you being on the show today. Thanks again. Thank you.
Thank you, Rayanne.
It's been my pleasure. You've been listening to HR Latte. My guest today was Phil Hendrickson, the Chief Talent Strategist over at Qualify. We've been continuing our series on the candidate experience and how we can improve it as hiring or recruiting professionals, as HR professionals. What can we do differently? The focus today was on having a strategy. I'll be back next week continuing this conversation about the candidate experience, where my guest will be Reed Wilson, who is the head of HR for Briggs International. We're going to talk inside the corporate the world, and let's figure out what's going on with inside the corporate world of hiring and how the candidate experience has an impact there. My final show on this series will be with Stephanie Schnick, who will join me as we talk about being a recruiter, the difference that the actual recruiter makes in the process of the candidate experience and the experience of being a job seeker or applicant. It's been an absolute pleasure today, folks. Thanks for joining me on HR Latte. This is not a podcast. This is a live streaming conversation. I don't edit the content. I want it all to be heard. So I appreciate you tuning in, and thanks for joining me today on HR Latte.